Hi, everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And today we watched Blue Velvet.
From beginning until the end.
It's from 1986. It's a solid R. It was 2 hours and 500 years long, directed by David Lynch.
It is considered American neo-noir, American neo-noir mystery thriller.
Okay.
And it is every one of those things.
Yeah.
Okay.
It got a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, 75 on Metascore, and 7.7 out of 10 on IMDb.
Wow, that high, huh?
I show a budget of about $6 million and a worldwide gross of 8.6 million.
Wow, that much, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, considering what a niche market he is, that seems a little low, doesn't it?
I mean, I think coming off like the only like big movie that he did before this was Elephant Man and Dune. And Dune didn't do very well because it is a sci-fi movie and it's one of those
It was
things.
a little bit before its time.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was way before its time. It was on TV the other day when I came home.
Yeah.
And so I was watching it for a while and I was like, what the fuck am I watching? And it was wildly before its time
Yeah.
because the computer graphics in it were crazy.
Oh, my.
The plot of this movie is the discovery of
Wait. You said there's a plot? Okay, go
a.
ahead.
It really didn't seem like there was a whole lot going, just a lot of crazy. The discovery of a severed ear found in a field leads a young man on an investigation related to a beautiful nightclub singer and a group of psychopathic criminals who have kidnapped her child. And that's, I don't even think, encompasses everything.
No, there's a little bit lacking there to that description.
Like, he really inserts himself into this whole thing.
He does.
It's a whole thing, and he gets himself involved.
He does. He does. On both sides.
Yeah.
The good and the bad. Yes. Don't even, I was going to say weird, but that's not even the word, is it?
Now I like David Lynch. I'm a big Twin Peaks fan, though I can't say that I could sit down and understand the last season. But I really don't know how to talk about this because it's just like I joked before we were getting ready that this is like a really long and crazy Scooby-Doo episode on drugs.
And I was just, when I went in there to wash my hands, I thought, did we have been high to watch this?
I don't know. I know that there are lots of speculation on what everything means because with David Lynch, nothing is exactly what it seems on paper. And a lot of time you can kind of read through the symbolism fairly easy. But like this movie, like I'm completely lost. I don't know if that's because it's 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and I'd rather be in bed, or if that it's just that I just am not cool. I don't
Okay, and then you bring your mother with you.
know.
Okay.
I was telling the girls at work that we were gonna watch this, and my friend Julia was like, "Well, you're gonna watch this with your mom? This movie with your mom?" I was like, "My mom's an adult; she's fine." And then we're watching it, and I'm just like, "Well,
I've seen naked people before.
so have I, but
I've been naked on
I
occasion.
didn't want to know about that.
I kind of remember what sex
I
is.
don't want to
Kind of.
know anything about that."
You had to come from somewhere, baby. Somewhere.
I came from a cabbage patch.
Okie dokie.
But
hell, if I look like Isabella Rossellini, I'd walk around naked too.
Well,
Jesus.
First of all, let's talk about how hot she is.
Absolutely.
And she's still a good looking woman.
She is. She is.
She played on 30 Rock. She was on 30 Rock.
Uh-huh.
She played Alec Baldwin's estranged wife.
Okay.
They had been like legally separated since like 1988. And they just kept dragging their feet on the divorce because there were concessions that needed to be made that neither party were going to make.
Uh-huh.
And it was a whole thing. Like, he wanted this and she wanted that and all just crazy stuff. I want your love letters to me. I want your parents' love letters to each other. I want your grandparents' love letters to each other.
Okay. And I want that tissue that was in the basket by the bed 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want control of the Arby's franchise that we bought together.
All right.
Yeah. Just crazy, crazy, dumb shit. Just rich people, crazy problems.
Yes. Yes.
And she played it so well. She is so funny on that. Just when she shows up.
Oh. Sorry.
Mozilla wanted me to know about Kardashian and Northwest.
Oh. Okay.
We needed to know that. Yeah. It's an all-star cast.
Huge. I recognized almost every name in the list.
Isabella Rossellini, Kyle MacLachlan, Dennis Hopper, Laura Dern, Hope Lang, Dean Stockwell, George Dickerson, Brad Dourif, Jack Nance, and Francis Bay. Those were the people that I recognized by face.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And like I said, you know, even me not watching, these are people that I recognize.
Yeah.
You know, I know all of these people. So, yeah. Big, big stars.
Yeah.
But some of them were brand new at that time, weren't they?
Yeah.
So, This movie did them well, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this really put everybody that wasn't on a map on a map.
Yeah.
Like, this was Laura Dern's first big movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, Kyle MacLachlan was in Dune, and I think he had done a couple things before that, but this was, like his big, big movie.
Mm-hmm.
And all sorts of people were looked at to be in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Really? Bigger stars than these?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, they weren't big stars when this was made. A few were. Dennis Hopper, he's been around since the, you know, dawn of time. Okay, Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper has been in a million things. Dennis Hopper was in Easy Rider. Dennis Hopper was in Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2.
Okay.
Dennis Hopper is a face that you see around, and Dennis Hopper is a man that you usually see playing somebody literally on the edge of the knife,
just like this guy.
Yeah.
Crazier than
yeah. Speaking of that, where did I write this down? Dennis Hopper says fuck in nearly every sentence he says. And the only other person to say fuck is Dean Stockwell at Dennis Hopper's insistence.
Right. Right. That's the only bad word we hear. And it's only from him.
Yeah. He's the only one talking.
Right. Right. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
How many times can you get fuck in one sentence?
Well,
a lot.
If you think colorfully, yeah.
Right. It was like appropriate, don't you think?
It was like completely inappropriate and completely appropriate at the same time.
Yes.
It's like a person like that guy who is obviously crazy on top of being a career criminal. Like, he's not going to talk about peaches and roses. He's going to say fuck all the time.
Right. That dude was a whole order of fries short a Happy Meal. Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But it was an interesting movie, Lex.
I thought this would be a little bit easier to understand than Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, because Fire Walk With Me, there's all sorts of, like, the symbolism in that movie is wild. But now, thinking back on it, we should have watched Fire Walk With Me.
Yeah, this was an... I don't understand it. I did not get it. I kept saying, "Do what? Huh?" You know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that I feel anything for this movie.
That's fine.
And of course, we're doing this movie today in honor of David Lynch, who passed just a few days ago.
Yeah, basically last week. A couple
of weeks ago. Yeah. And the fact that everybody we know absolutely adores him.
Right.
And is beside themselves that he is gone. Valerie.
I'm sad to see him go too. You know, there's something to be said about just making weird shit that right. says one thing and means another. And the way that he can put a picture together is fascinating. It's beautiful. But do I understand any of it? No.
And do you have to understand it?
I don't think so. I don't think you have to understand it to appreciate the art of it.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that this wasn't a beautifully crafted movie. It was.
Right.
The pictures that it had were beautiful. You knew that this was dark.
Yeah.
And going to get darker.
Right.
Just by the lighting of the scenes. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
What do you want to go a little trivia first, or what do you want to do?
No, I'll give you our basic stuff.
Okay.
You know, I like to do that.
Sure.
Lynch is considered an artist, a musician, an actor, and a filmmaker.
Okay.
He has been considered one of the most important filmmakers of this era.
Yeah.
A visionary.
Yeah.
Often distinguished by the surreal and the experimental.
Well, there's not a lot of people that can do what David Lynch does well.
Right.
And there are many things, you know, there are lots of stuff that try to do this, and it never is the same.
It doesn't make it. And, you know, whenever you think of David Lynch, you think of something surreal.
Right.
Even the TV show Twin Peaks. I only watched it a few times. I was not the fan you were.
Right.
But it was put together the same way this movie was. You know, kind of a dream scene. Kind of, you know, what's going to happen next?
Right.
And the odd people that it had on there. Which, when you think about it, aren't quite so odd. Because don't you know every person that was in this movie?
Yeah.
They're just there. And he is able to put these people into these positions where they're perfect. Weird. Perfectly weird. I don't know. But you know, like I said, you know every one of these people.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. He studied painting and he made short films in. His first movie, I think it was his first feature-length movie was 1977's Eraserhead.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. He was nominated for an Academy Award for The Elephant Man.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't see that he has won anything. Did I mistake that?
No, I don't think he's ever won.
But he's been nominated a lot of times.
Yeah.
1990 and 91, he did Twin Peaks. He has done music videos. You know, we love these guys that do these music videos.
Several years ago on, I believe it was Netflix, there was a Duran Duran concert. And I was like, oh, I'll check it out. And it said it was directed by David Lynch. And I said, what?
The concert movie?
Yeah.
Interesting. Absolutely. Well, I didn't write that. The two names that I recognized in the little thing that I read was Moby and Nine Inch Nails.
Yes. Did he do like for like the Lost Highway stuff?
You know, I don't know. I didn't write anything like that down. I just write down these little snippets of words. But I don't remember reading anything about that.
Okay.
He's done commercials for Dior, YSL, Givenchy, and the New York Department of Sanitation. Read that, and I can absolutely see him doing all these commercials for these designer labels. Absolutely. And then there was the Department of Sanitation. I would love to see that. I looked for it, but I could not find that commercial. I will keep trying and show it to you.
Okay.
Because that has got to be beyond unbelievable. He has also released a solo album. Interesting, I thought.
Yeah.
He's written a couple of books. In 2020, he was diagnosed with emphysema. He said he started smoking at age 8. I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
Stories that grandpa would tell us, you know, about all of the kids smoking and how so many of the little kids had to get off the chew so they could go to school.
Yeah.
At 5. You know, so I don't think that that's, although he wasn't all that old. I mean, he was only 78. He's only 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of stories from that time about kids and smoking, and it was okay back then.
Yeah.
You know, it was okay.
Can I stop you?
Yeah. Books. Oh, we were talking about him being a smoker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And because of the fires in Los Angeles, he had to be evacuated, and his daughter came and got him. And it kind of set him on a bad road. He went very quickly downhill.
Oh,
from there, and he died on the 20th of January.
Yeah,
he was born on the 15th of January. I think that's kind of an odd thing.
Yeah.
No, he died on the 15th. He was born on the 20th.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, she came and got him, and he went downhill real fast and fast.
Well, when you're sick, new environments really mess you up.
Absolutely. And he'd been on oxygen for some time, and having, you know, had grandpa and grandma both on oxygen, their mind is not as quick as it used to be.
No.
And it's hard for them to understand things, I think.
Yeah.
This guy is plain old white bread.
Yeah.
He was born in Missoula, Montana. Missoula?
Yeah, Missoula, yes. Montana.
His dad worked for the USDA as a scientist, and because of that, United States Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
And because of that, they moved quite often. And he said at one time, you know, they ask did that, you know, did that change you? Did that bother you when you were, you know, kid moving? Because no, I made friends easy. It didn't, you know, you always hear that. Oh, we're going to have to move the kids to a new school. He didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, it was okay with him. He joined Boy Scouts at a young age, and he achieved Eagle Scout.
Oh, cool.
And he was one of the Eagle Scouts that was at the inauguration of President John F. Kennedy.
Oh, my God.
That was a big thing back then that, you know, Eagle Scouts and different kinds of troops would go to the inauguration. You know, talk about white bread. That's,
yeah,
you know, that's American, Americana.
Yeah.
His favorite film was The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I can see that.
Absolutely. He had very little interest in school, although he did, you know, he said he didn't do bad, but that wasn't his thing. He wasn't real interested in that, but he did go on to college. And after a while, it just was not, it wasn't what he wanted. And he, at one time he was at the Boston, he was in Boston at the School of Music, which I don't, this is a weird name, School of Museum of Fine Arts, the school. I don't know what it was.
Okay.
But it was weird. I'd never even heard of it. And when he was there, his roommate was Peter Wolf.
Oh.
From the Jay Giles Band.
Okay.
And so he never really graduated from college. And then a couple of his friends said, let's go to Europe and travel around for a couple of years. So they got things together and they went over to Europe and it lasted a couple of weeks. But this ain't for us.
Yeah.
We're out of here. I thought, you know, that kind of sounds right. I'd love to go places and then I get there and think, I'd rather be at home.
Yeah. This is great, but you know what else is great? Laying on my couch.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 He's got four kids.
Okay.
Jennifer.
Yes.
The director. We talked about her.
Uh-huh.
Born in 1968.
Okay.
He had a son, Austin, who was born in 82. Riley, who was born in 92. And Lula, a daughter, born in 2012.
Oh.
So that's quite a difference between,
Yeah, having a child that's almost 60 and then a child that's, you know, 10.
Right. But you know how I feel about that. I don't get that kind of shit, you know.
Franchise families.
Yes.
Every 10 or 15 years you start a new one.
No. Yeah. I get it.
I don't get it.
And I understand why these women want to have children with these men, because then they're tied to them forever.
Yeah.
And they can, you know, get money and stuff like that. But I still, that's, where's your self-respect?
Oh, I don't know. I also think, you know, people get with a rich guy and are like, well, I'm going to get this guy forever.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, forever for in Hollywood is 10.
Oh, yeah.
10 years.
And none of his things were more than 10 or 12 years. His first wife, Peggy, he was married to in 68. His second wife, Mary, he was, they divorced in 68. Peggy. Mary, their divorce was in 77. His second wife, Mary.
Oh, boy. Okay.
They were divorced in 92. And then he was with Isabella Rossellini for, you know, a number of years. Around 8 or 10, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then his last wife, Emily, they started divorce proceedings in 2009, but they were never finalized.
2009?
2020, yes. 2000, no. You know what? I think I have that wrong. They were married in 68, 70, 92, and 2009.
Oh.
Because, yes, that would be, holy cow. Maybe I need to be on oxygen, get my brain working. Yeah, that's when they were married, in 78, 77, 92. Yeah, I mean, he had multiple wives. Interesting political backings, feelings, thinkings.
Oh, okay.
He said he's not really political, but he's kind of a libertarian. Get that. Understand that.
Okay.
But he's also a Democrat. Sure. I get that too. But, you know, he's one of those people for less government. So I guess that would be the libertarian part of him. But he was also heavy into transcendental meditation. And I think those people are very, very on the fringe of liberals.
Yeah.
That they want to, you know, get the inner peace. And he was really, really into transcendental meditation.
Okay.
He said in an interview that Trump would go down as a great president, but then he backed it up later on and said that no, that was all taken out of context, and he said that he would not be a good president because he was the type that would cause suffering and division.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Speaking of which, I'm loving all of these people that are like tweeting out like, oh my God, like because Trump did this, like I voted for Trump and like now my whole life sucks. And like, why, you know, this was all unintended consequences. I'm sure he meant to take care of this and not that. And it's just,
yeah, all right.
It's just like,
right. I went to the grocery store. The prices at my grocery store haven't gone down any. And I watched the news this morning and gas is up over $3 again.
God damn it. Didn't go up.
Yes. And
it had
been down $2.50.
Shit.
Now it's back all the way up over, you know,
I didn't get gas yesterday. It was $2.78 at the corner and I did get gas. Or shit.
$3.09 and $3.19 were all four of the lowest prices in town. Yes. You know, they do that on the news.
Damn it.
So, you know, and ICE has rounded up 500 people that they've deported. I'm thinking if ICE could round up 500 people in one day, why didn't they know about these people and go get them before today? You know, I don't understand that. I don't. If they knew where they were, why didn't they go get them? Because did you see the people they were loading on those planes?
No.
They were young people. They were women.
Well, I think that a lot of the people that, like, they're picking up now are people here on visas. Like, we're not letting anybody in.
Well, that's not what Trump said they were going to do. He said they were going to pick up all of the felons first.
No.
All of the criminals first. They were going to deport all of those people first. That's not what they're deporting.
No, they're picking up documented people that are here on visas.
I think so.
And why didn't they do that sooner? Because they weren't emboldened to.
Right. Right.
Anyways, back to David Lynch. We could talk about this for hours.
We could laugh about it for hours.
Oh my God. I did see a meme where it was a lady that she was bending down to tie her shoe and it says, "My fully documented ass running from ICE just to waste their time."
But as far as that goes, they did raid a small business and arrested everyone there. Even though they weren't undocumented. They arrested everybody. Handcuffed them, fingerprinted them, everything. That sounds like a lawsuit to me.
It just sounds like a witch hunt.
Yes.
And let's go back to David Lynch. We're just going to keep talking about this. It's all bad. None of it's good.
And if you have listened to us before, you know that we can get on a rant about that.
And pretty soon, just being an average white person like we are is going to be a target. It's going to have a target on our back.
Betcha. And you can have all the documentation you want. All of it can be revoked in a heartbeat.
I don't understand. The whole country was founded on immigrants.
Yeah.
Like, that's nobody here except
the American Indians. That's it. If you're not indigenous American people, Indian, one tribe or another, you weren't here ever before.
So, I don't. David Lynch.
Okay. 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 He practiced
We talked about that. His transcendental medication.
He practiced that as his spiritual practice. He felt that turning inward was turning into his spiritualness. Okay. And I've heard that from other people who are meditators, that that's all inside things. So, you know.
Okay, sure.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, he also had a private website that people could pay to join that had shorts and interviews. And he did a 30-second weather report every day, look out the window and talk about the weather. But that's correct. We need to do that. Movies with my mom. Weather news. Like, we talk about the weather almost every day, too. It's gray here. What's it at your house? We live less than a mile apart.
Right, but I work about 5-6 miles down the road in a different township, and
sometimes
the weather is crazy.
Yes, sometimes I will look out my window and it'll be bright and sunny, and Lex will say it's raining.
Yeah, it's raining hard.
Or the snow will be pelting my windows, and Lex said, "It's sunny here."
Yeah,
we could do. That's what we could do. We could do the weather.
Okay.
That's way more fun to talk about than, no, then that would get us into global warming and, okay, move on.
Yep.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
That, that people would pay to listen to the weather report from him. You know. He also had a private brand of organic coffee.
Cool.
He loved his coffee.
Okay, that's a damn fine cup of coffee.
I guess that was a Twin Peaks reference, wasn't it?
It was.
Okay. See, I do notice something. I get around a little.
Dale Cooper loves a cup of coffee and a piece of cherry pie.
Okay. All right.
And speaking of which, the diner that Sandy and Jeffrey go to in this movie,
yes,
is the same exterior of the Double R Roadhouse in Twin Peaks.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't point that out to me. You should have.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. What else do I got? And I talked about that already. Evacuating from the fires. He's had art. He's had solo art exhibits, many of them. In different galleries around the country.
Ooh.
And in 2007, a panel of critics from The Guardian said no one could fault the conclusion that David Lynch is the most important filmmaker of the current era.
Wow.
I thought that speaks to your legacy, certainly, doesn't it?
It really does.
And it was it didn't say who they were, a panel of critics. So it was more than just a couple of people getting together saying stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so, you know, and people I have talked to who talk about David Lynch, and, you know, they feel they know him through his work, you know, they all kind of say that he was, you know, it was very a part of their life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty cool. I think that's all kind of pretty cool. High praise to a person.
Yeah.
Okay, what else do you have? What you got?
I got that several actors were considered for the role of Frank. Turned down the character because it was too repulsive and intense. Dennis Hopper, in contrast, was reported to have explained, "I've got to play Frank. I am Frank."
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
The role of Jeffrey was offered to Val Kilmer, who turned it down, saying the script read like pornography.
Oh.
He later said that he would have taken the part after seeing the final movie. Coincidentally, Val Kilmer was also up for the role of Paul Atreides in Dune, and that also went to Kyle MacLachlan.
Wow. Val Kilmer, step up your game, dude. See him doing that part.
There was, like a lot of people, the role of Dorothy was written for Debbie Harry.
Whoa.
Who turned it down because she was sick of receiving offers to play a weirdo after her role in Videodrome.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
Videodrome is a David Cronenberg movie, so there's a lot of body horror. It's sexual, it's weird. It's a thing.
It's okay.
Yeah. And she is in that movie, and she's deep in that movie.
And she's never going to do another movie like it.
Uh-uh.
And that's her prerogative.
Molly Ringwald was offered the role of Sandy.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But her mother objected it due to the strong graphic content of the film.
Okay. I understand that. Molly Ringwald would have been pretty young then.
Molly Ringwald at that time was probably like 19 or 20.
Yeah, she would have been just even, you know, just a teenager. I understand.
I think Laura Dern was much older than that.
But I understand why a mother would say something like that.
Yeah, if your mom is your manager.
Right.
Your momager.
Momager.
But.
And maybe she wanted her daughter's work to go in a different way.
Well,
even though she, you know, the only person naked was Isabella Rossellini.
Yeah.
But still, I get it, though. I get it.
Yeah. I don't know. Harry Dean Stanton was the first choice for the role of Frank, but turned it down, not wanting to work on a violent film.
Hmm.
He later goes on to work with David Lynch a lot, Harry Dean Stanton. Willem Dafoe was considered for Frank.
I could see that. Could you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that look.
Robert Loggia was also in contention for the role of Frank.
I could see it, but not as good as the other two.
I could see it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Godfather Robert Loggia?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Deborah Winger turned down the role of Dorothy Valens due to the erotic nature of the film.
Okay.
Karen Allen, Rebecca De Mornay, who would have been a little young at this time, Jodie Foster, Angelica Houston, Diane Keaton, Sybil Shepherd, Sissy Spacek, and Meryl Streep were all also considered for the role of Dorothy.
Oh. Was he just looking for a big name?
I think so.
Oh. Because some of those I could not even imagine.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Lynch initially envisioned Hannah Schygulla, Schygulla, for the role of Dorothy. And when she declined, he thought Helen Mirren before meeting Isabella Rossellini in a New York City restaurant. Lynch and Rossellini worked together and then would later be engaged from 1986 to 1990.
Uh-huh. Yep. Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren. Who I think,
you know, all I can see is old Helen Mirren. I don't know that I know of anything she did young.
I think that in the 80s, I mean, if we're talking that she's like 75, 80 right now, that would have put her at 35, 40 then. And I think she would have been a little too old.
Oh, yeah. I just, she's played some very interesting parts, but I just can't see. I don't know. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Roy Orbison initially rejected Lynch's request to use the song In Dreams in the brothel scene. I guess we're supposed to infer that the place we meet Dean Stockwell in is a brothel.
After a while, I was thinking that that's what it must have been.
I didn't see that.
Oh. Well, he kept talking about pussy, pussy, pussy. And then they showed up at this weird place with these, you know, mature women. And I thought, is that like old people breath?
I don't know.
And then I thought, Dean Stockwell had on an awful lot of makeup. Was he like, I don't know, his lipstick and his eyeshadow? And weird.
Yeah, he was very much like the MC from Cabaret.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that it was a brothel. So yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, I didn't. Okay. I was just like, what the hell? Anyways, Lynch found a way to legally use the song without Orbison's okay. And Orbison didn't find out until he randomly went and saw the movie. And he eventually filmed a video for the song that was produced by Lynch with footage from the movie.
Oh, wow. How can you legally use music without...
Maybe he just went and bought the rights.
Right. At that time, Ray Orbison did not own the rights. His company owned the rights. Or his studio... Yeah, okay.
The scene where Jeffrey and Frank go driving off at breakneck speeds was filmed by having stagehands rock the stationary car while others ran past with lights in their hands.
Ah, cool.
I thought that was pretty cool.
I would never have guessed that they were not in a car traveling at speed.
Right.
Wow.
Going back to Dean Stockwell in the In Dreams sequence, he was holding a work light as a microphone.
Yes, yes.
And he only did that after Lynch had seen him holding a work light during a lighting session. They were trying to light dress the scene.
Uh-huh.
And he was holding that thing.
Interesting.
He was just like, hold the work light instead of a microphone. He's like, that makes more sense than anything to me.
It did. I mean, when he picked that up and started singing, I did not even think, gee, didn't he have a microphone? I didn't even think that.
Mm-mm.
I thought, yeah, that's right.
That's exactly what he should have in his hands.
Yep. Plug that fucker in and used it.
Jeffrey says the line, I'm in the middle of a mystery, exactly at the halfway point of the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the only film this year, I guess the 1986 film year, to be Oscar nominated for Best Director, but not for Best Picture.
Oh, wow. Oh, how interesting.
And the only other little bit of trivia I wrote down was that in a cut scene, they introduced Jeffrey's college girlfriend, and she was played by actress Megan Mullally. She was Karen on Will and Grace with the squeaky voice.
Yes. Fluffy woman.
Yeah.
She's flouncy. Flouncy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She played a rich lady that whose husband was on death's door, right, and just oozed money.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. She would have been pretty young.
Yes, she would have. You know, because 86, I mean, wow, yeah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, but that's about all I have written down.
All right. Very interesting. I mean, this was a crazy, strange movie.
Yeah, Mom said that she was taking away movie choosing from me.
I did. I think I said that twice.
You did.
Lex can no longer choose movies. It's only going to be me. Because this was, I did not know what was going on. I did not know where we were. I did not know why we were watching this. I think that I thought too much about it.
Yeah.
I should have just been watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, I think you walk into a movie like this and you're like, oh, it's a David Lynch, so I got to watch for this, and I got to think about this, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, instead of just watching a movie.
Right. You got to look for those Lynchisms.
Yeah. All that symbolism that is layered on top of layered.
Right. And I didn't. You had told me it was going to be a rough movie to watch several times, and I thought, oh, okay, you know, I just thought you meant sex stuff. No, this was a rough movie to watch from beginning to end. It was, why was that guy watering his lawn with those bugs erupting?
I don't
know. Holding his neck with a halo in the hospital. What the hell happened?
I don't.
And who has a blind guy run at the cash register? But you know what? Don't ask those questions.
Well,
just watch the movie.
Did you see when Jeffrey and the blind man and the blind man's friend were talking and Jeffrey said, how many fingers am I holding up? Did you see the friend tap his back?
Yes. Yes. How do you do that? He's got his buddy there to help him.
Yeah.
Because at the register, he read off the, what would have been like the UPC number.
Yeah.
To him. But then he said, it's $2.99.
$22.95.
Okay. Whatever. You know, he said right away the price, so... Did he have all that memorized?
I'm sure he did.
So, you know. And why was he holding up that two-sided axe like that? Was that another symbol? I kept thinking that the whole time.
I know. I think it was just them holding an axe weird.
I thought of that. Kept thinking the whole time. Is that a symbol of something? What does that mean? Why did he touch that ear? Oh.
Don't know. If I were just randomly walking and I saw an ear, I would go home and pretend like I've never seen anything in my entire life.
I think I would have done that too. Or maybe called the police then and said, you know what? There's an ear on the path over there by that shack.
Yeah.
You know, go look for that.
Yeah, I'm not touching it.
Nope. And I'm not even going to think about it again after right now.
So, you know, why did he have that little grungy paper bag in his pocket?
Oh, no, it wasn't in his pocket. He picked that up. He looked around for something. And that was a crumpled piece of something
He took it out of his pocket, and I was like, why the hell is this kid walking around with a crumpled paper bag in his pocket?
He picked that up off of the dirt, out of the wood, out of the grass.
Okay.
I can't believe I saw that and you didn't. OMG. I can't believe it.
I was like, this is weird.
He was. And a fast healer.
Yeah.
Man alive.
Yeah, he got the boots medium style, and he didn't have a mark on him a couple days later.
Right. Stabbed in the face by a butcher knife, and it was gone the next day.
Yeah.
Holy cow. But I love looking for those kind of things. You know that.
Yeah.
I look for stuff like that. It was an interesting movie, and like you said, a Scooby-Doo mystery. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. A Scooby-Doo mystery on, like, meth.
Yeah. It was. Would I watch it again? No.
No.
I've seen it. I don't need to see it again. I think that maybe I would like to see a different one. Is there one that's maybe a little more coherent?
No.
They're all like this.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And I don't think I'd ever want to see another one. And like I said, I've seen Twin Peaks, so I don't think I ever need to see another David Lynch.
Okay.
I'm good.
That's fine.
I think Val will be very disappointed that I said something like that.
Well, it's not for everybody.
Nope, absolutely not.
And it's, and like I said, I don't have the foggiest idea of what the fuck we just watched. But can I appreciate what it was and what it was trying to do?
Absolutely. Yes. The artistry that it went into this, how he could put this story together. Absolutely.
Now, I've seen a lot of David Lynch movies. I've seen Lost Highway. I've seen Mulholland Drive. And I did try to watch Inland Empire. I don't know what the fuck Inland Empire was supposed to be about. Like, that one was completely beyond me.
Okay.
Lost Highway just had, like, some cool little weird bits in it. Like, there's a scene in it where the main character is at a party, and this weird little man played by Robert Blake in white pancake makeup and dark eyeliner comes up to him, and he's just like, hey, do you know who I am? And he's just like, no. And he's just like, I'm in your house right now. And he's just like, fuck. And he's just like, call your house. And so he calls his house, and the little man that's standing in front of him answers the phone.
Okay.
And it's just, and he's just standing there just mirthful as hell at watching this man call himself and hear that guy's voice. It's just weird. And I don't know what it meant.
Oh,
I don't know what it, I don't know why it was in the movie. Was it cool? Yes.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
But see, that's just it. What am I looking for? What? I like a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Although this one certainly did have a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, they were all, you know, at like a quarter twist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I still want to know, how did Isabella Rossellini turn up naked on that lawn at that moment?
No.
Was there a jump in the film or something? Did she come out of that house?
Was she just walking along the road? I don't know.
You know, that's the stuff. That's the kind of stuff that I will think about for a week. Trying to figure that out. And why didn't somebody notice her sooner?
I don't know. Well, it seemed to be that the only people on the road was
those two cars.
Jeffrey's car and Sandy's boyfriend's car.
That pack of boys. And then why were they so docile after the naked person turned up? Why did those boys just shrink back when the naked lady arrived?
Well, she had taken the boots medium style too. Like, seeing somebody naked and beat up is very, very jarring, and I can't imagine wanting to continue to beat somebody up when you see somebody else that's just been beat up.
Okay. All right, but I'm still going to try to figure that out in my head for a week.
You can go down the Google machine and we'll tell you exactly what it means. Blue Velvet explained.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, you can get explanation videos on YouTube. I don't care.
Oh no, I don't want. I just will think about it.
Okay,
I'm not going to Google any of that.
That's fine.
I'll Google, Jimmy Carter's grandma's peanut butter cookie recipe.
Okay.
Because I did see that on the Facebook machine this morning.
Nice.
I'm going to have to make those.
Sure.
Oh, my good heavens. This has been an interesting movie. Just the stuff I read about this guy, I think I would like him. He sounds interesting. He sounds like us. He has stuff to say, and he's going to say it. And the hell with everybody else.
Yeah.
You don't like what I say? Don't listen to me.
Yeah.
And isn't that what we say all the time? If you have an opinion, that's okay.
Yeah, but he has like $1 billion to back it up. We're just sitting here in my living room.
In our jeans and sweatshirts, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Making all this money that we're making from this podcast.
Oh, I forget. I keep forgetting about all that money. And when will it be hitting my bank?
Oh, on the 4th of never, because that's when it's hitting my bank.
Oh, it's going to be at yours on the 3rd of never.
Yeah.
And I have to wait until the 4th. I get it. All right. It's all clear now.
Yeah.
Oh, my. But if you'd like to pay us for our podcast, we'll take it. No, you know what? Then there's...
Spend your money on something else.
Yeah, something more interesting. Then you got to keep all those records, and then the IRS gets involved, and, 10 more dollars will set me into a different category of taxation, and, I don't want to deal with it. So we're good where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. But haven't talked about our food. You did mention the diner.
Oh, yeah. Since there's really, again, not a lot of eating in this movie.
Just tiny.
It's Sandy and Jeffrey go to a diner a couple times. So we had diner food.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
Yeah. Mayberry always makes a wonderful breakfast.
Yeah. We had French toast and eggs and bacon. It was delicious.
And I just had eggs and sausage and hash browns. And yes, no jelly for my biscuit, though. I was a little sad.
We could have gone in the kitchen and got you.
What?
Okay.
Where's the kitchen from here?
Okay.
Honey, I know that. I could have had strawberry or grape, whatever, and,
Yeah, we have grape in the fridge.
I only have apricot right now. Mm. Well, I do think I have some strawberry back in the back. I think I got that a couple of times ago. But, they always make a good breakfast. Can't complain.
Nope. It was delicious.
Yep. And I'm glad we didn't have a beer with it.
Yeah.
And Heineken's is not one of my favorite flavors.
Heineken is not my favorite, nor is Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Correct.
So if I had to choose between the two, I'm drinking the Heine.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
I think Pabst Blue Ribbon is gross.
Well, it's kind of a no-flavor beer.
Get you drunk.
Yeah, it tastes like can, I always thought.
I think it tastes like turpentine.
Yikes. Yikes. Of course, I've never drank that, so I don't know.
Well, I haven't either, but I guess, if I were to start drinking turpentine, that's how I imagine it tasting, like Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Okay. All right. Yeah, but that's it. They had the diner, and then they had the beers. So, you know, we made the best choice.
Yeah.
The wisest choice.
Yeah, I think so.
Although, later on when they were there at the diner, it looked like there was a grilled cheese or something on the plate.
He definitely had a sandwich on his plate.
Yeah, it was a grilled sandwich of some sort.
But I wasn't looking that hard.
And I didn't feel like a grilled cheese today anyways.
Yeah.
I thought the eggs, I was going to get pancakes, but I thought, no.
I really wanted French toast.
And it smelled delicious.
It was good.
It really smelled good. You know, when it got in my car, I thought, my God, I'm starving. Too early in the morning, pancakes don't always agree with me. Too heavy.
Yeah.
That's a breakfast for dinner thing. Pancakes for dinner is much better than for breakfast, I think.
Yeah.
I prefer it then. So, anyway. Okay. But yeah, some of these movies we've watched, it's tough to find food to go with it.
Yeah. It really has been.
I know. And we haven't had anything like stir-fry or something like that recently.
I made stir-fry the other night. It was delicious.
Yeah. You said you were going to.
Yeah.
Yay. And it's so simple to make stir-fry.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, other than the cutting of the vegetables.
Oh, I didn't even do that. Did you just buy it?
Okay. You know what? In this day and age, when you can buy cut vegetables, do it.
I mean, it costs twice as much, but.
But you can do that after work and still have a good meal. If you were going to spend 2 hours cutting vegetables, that would put you into a different time frame. And
yeah,
you can't have that after work.
No.
On a weekday. So I'm all cool about best things for best times. Since we like to eat, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
What else? What else we got? Oh, we got our deaths. Should we do our deaths?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Not nearly as many as we've had. But, you know, like I said, first of the year. Oh, there were tons. When I went to the page that I always look at, there were tons of dead people. But they were, you know, Brazilian soccer player and, you know, a Canadian politician, which we don't care about them. You know, we don't know them.
Talk in your microphone.
We don't know them.
Yeah.
Okay. Leslie Carlson at age 79. She was in General Hospital.
Okay.
Many, many, many years. Of course, David Lynch at 78. Bob Uecker at 90, Mr. Baseball.
Yeah.
He was an actor and a catcher. I mean, Bob Uecker's all over TV in the 80s, I think. You know, even you knew who he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that was when he was an actor, not a baseball player. Kenny Law at 68. I do not have what he did written down.
Who is he?
Kenny Law. Oh, was that the wrestler? No, no, no. Hillbilly Moonshiners. Moonshiners.
Oh, yeah.
68, he died. He died from a lot of stuff. He was not a well man.
Oof.
He had a whole list of problems.
Eesh.
Joan Plowright at 95.
That's her.
Tom Slattery at age 65. He had a heart attack.
Tony Slattery.
Tony, yes.
Yeah.
Comedian.
You would know him from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Right. I did not recognize the name. And then I looked him up and I thought, oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, he was definitely on the UK version.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. He did a little bit on the American version. He also had a role in The Crying Game. I remember him in that movie.
Okay. I do not. But I as soon as I saw his face, I thought, oh, I've heard him before.
Yeah. I can see that he died in 65, you said?
65.
That's too young.
Much too young. Francisco San Martin. An actor, 39, but he died of suicide.
Ooh.
Lynn Ban, at 52. She was a jewelry designer, an actor. She did one of those reality shows of jewelry.
Yeah, she died in a skiing accident. Skiing
accident, yeah. She had had the accident and had several brain surgeries, but then passed from that. Garth Hudson at 87. It did not say what he died from. He was in The Band.
Yeah, The Band.
You know, a lot of us knew of him. Here's one that I found that I thought was quite interesting. Loretta Ford at age 104. She was the co-founder of the very first nurse practitioner graduate program. You know, how many of us go to a nurse practitioner?
Yeah.
You know, more of us go to a nurse practitioner, I think, than a doctor anymore.
Most of my doctors are NPs.
Yep. And this lady started the very first one. I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting. And I didn't send you DJ Unk died.
I've got that. I'm getting there.
Okay.
Yep, DJ Unk at 42. He was a rapper.
Yeah.
Again, I read the little article, but I didn't. Do you know what?
I can hear Walk It Out in my head. I can hear it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see?
And I know that other people have used that in their songs.
Okay. But I didn't see what he died from. Maybe the article I read wasn't.
I had read something that said that in like 2009 he had had a big heart attack. So 2009 he would have been in his goddamn late 20s.
Wow, yeah.
So, you know, I guess I'm just guessing he wasn't well.
Yeah. And then the last one I have is Barry Michael Cooper at age 67. He was a screenwriter, and there were several things. I seem to recognize that name for some reason. And the only thing I recognized that, you know, was in the list of things he did was New Jack City.
Oh, okay.
But he wrote a lot of stuff. He was there on a lot of stuff. So, yeah, not so many today. But a couple of young people again. Wow.
Yeah.
And another, I've been trying to look for somebody over 100.
Yeah. You know,
but 104, holy cats.
But could you even imagine?
No, I can't. I can't, you know, and let's see, 67, 68, 65. Well, I don't think that's young.
That's too young.
Absolutely. Now that I'm up there, I guess, yeah. Yeah, these are all youngsters.
Knowing that people can live past 100, like 65 is too young.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and there's no reason. Medical science has gone to a spot where we should all be living past 100.
Yeah.
You know, but just like David Lynch, I mean, a heavy smoker, you know, he should have hit quit. I mean, anybody who started smoking after, I don't know, maybe 1980, what's their problem? You know, because there has been so much said about not smoking and how bad smoking is for you since the 80s that, you know, if you make that choice, Alexis, you've made that choice. You know, that's all on you.
Yeah. Well, the 90s were a wild time.
They were.
So, you know, I just wanted to look cool because I'm not cool. I've never been cool. And I just wanted to look cool.
You just didn't know you were cool.
No, I've never been cool. But, like, I still think it looks cool. Like, I have been a non-smoker for about 12 years now, and you know, I still think it looks cool. I don't like the smell. I don't like,
but
the taste of it.
I just can't imagine how people can afford to be a heavy smoker.
No, in the 90s, it was cheap.
$2
a pack. That's nothing,
right?
You know, now it's $10 a pack.
Right. And I can't understand how people can afford it.
I don't know.
You know, and then we say, oh, well, all the vaping, that costs as much as cigarettes.
And that's even worse for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you can choose to be healthy and you can choose not to be. And you know, I can't talk. I'm fat. I have all those problems. Well, I have a lot of fat problems, but not, you know, not all of them. But I think we make our choices and yeah. we do what, you know. We're able to make those choices, and we make, some of us don't make good ones, some of us make better ones, so. Well,
I mean, I'd rather spend my money on chips and ice cream than cigarettes.
Well, yes, that's true. That
like,
is true.
All day, every day.
Absolutely.
Because,
but,
you know.
But hell, a little bag of chips now is $5.
It's true. But it is true what they say, that food tastes better once you quit smoking.
Does it really?
It really does.
Interesting.
Like, you can taste food again.
Okay.
So.
Because you can smell.
It's, yeah.
You know, really, taste is nothing. It's all in the smell. So, you know.
Yeah.
Because food doesn't taste very good if you can't smell it.
Right.
That's, I hear from people who got COVID and lost their sense of smell.
I never lost mine.
Which I'm glad for, because some people don't get it back.
Like it went in and out, but it didn't go away.
Very good. I still am never, ever going to get COVID. Never, ever, never.
Good for you. Nope. When I had it, it was just, I just had a cold. And it sucked.
Yep.
But, you know. I
think you just had a bad cold, just like Blythe when she got it. I think it was just like a bad cold.
Yeah.
But because it's a coronavirus, it showed up as a coronavirus on the test.
Yeah.
But yeah. Still, wash your hands.
Yeah, just wash your goddamn hands. Quit being gross.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I went to the doctor's office this week. And I went to that big clinic down on Monroe Street.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of people in there that had masks on. And I don't blame them. You know, I considered putting a mask on before I went in there. There's sick people in there.
Yeah.
So, you
know. I also, you know, when I go there, I'm, you know, there's 15 chairs and you're sitting in the chair over by the window. I'm sitting in the chair by the door.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting anywhere near you, so you can't breathe on me.
That's not how it worked when I got there. I sat in an area where there was no one sitting. And then one lady came. And then two more people came. And I thought, all of these seats, there must have been 40 seats around where I was.
Yeah.
And they were all sitting by me.
Ugh. Go away.
Unbelievable.
I don't know. I guess I just have that look. This is don't
sit by me.
I'm either going to talk to you and be weird, or I'm going to just be silent and be weird. Either way, I don't want you near me.
Right. I always play computer games on my phone.
I do too.
So I don't even look approachable.
I went to the dentist the other day because I broke a tooth on my grill, and I needed to get a new grill. And I've already broken the new one, so that's exciting.
Yeah,
I'm super stoked about that. Anyways, but there was I didn't even notice it. I just saw that the room was full of people, and I couldn't sit in the area that I normally sat in, so I had to sit in a completely different area of the waiting room, and I just ran over to a seat and sat down. I didn't look at anybody. I didn't like survey anybody's faces. I just sat down.
Yep, I understand.
And I didn't notice anything odd around me until a man came down and sat down in front of me, and I looked up at him and I was just like, wait a second. And then he leaned over and I looked at the chair that he was leaning across that had a coat and a hat in it, and I was like, wait a second. And then he was speaking Dutch, and I was like, wait a second. I said, that's German without sounding all guttural.
Juicy, yeah.
Yeah. So wait a second. And then I looked over, like, I didn't want to look at anybody's face. I just kind of looked around, like, at, like, legs. And the person he was talking to was a woman with a ankle length dress on. And I said, what?
Oh, my gosh.
I was excited. If their room wouldn't have been full of people, I would have, you know, would have, where are you guys from? Because it's just interesting to see Amish folk around here, real Amish folk.
Right.
I was just like, well, maybe they're Mennonite. And because like the parking lot was full and like the room was full, so I just assumed that everybody had a car.
Uh-huh.
And the man had walked up to the front desk and asked the front desk lady to call a cab for him. And I said, oh, he's not even going to touch the telephone. These are real ass Amish people. They're not Mennonites.
Right. Different hats. They wear different hats, I believe. The women do.
Oh, I can't say I looked at the woman's hat, and I only saw the man's hat.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it was crazy. I've never seen Amish people around here.
Yeah, I don't think we have them here in Toledo. I think the closest we have would be in Archbold. And that's not near here. You know, that's pretty much an hour away.
Yeah.
And surely there's dentists between here and there. But you never know. Never know.
I don't know. But it was crazy.
Oh, wow.
And the man is the one that came from the back, so I'm assuming he was the one that was getting work done.
Uh-huh.
But, like, his speech didn't sound impeded or anything, so I don't know. I don't know what was going on.
Kind of like I've been talking today. Other than saying stupid things, it just sounds mushy.
So I don't know exactly what they were doing, but real Amish people.
Wow.
I had lots of questions, but I keep your head down. Don't bother them. They don't want to be around you.
It's just, it's kind of not appropriate, but I want to know.
I do want to know. Like, I have lots of questions, and I don't want to be a jerk about it. I just really want to know for my own benefit.
Right.
Like, where did you come from? Like, how did you get here? Like, you paid for an hour-long car ride? What?
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. You know, do you have, like, English family that you're staying with? And maybe that's, you know, taking the sting out of a $100 car ride?
Or
$100 car ride?
Did he say cab, or did he, you know, say, could you call this number for a ride?
No, he said cab.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I've got questions.
Yeah.
I always have questions.
You too. I got lots of questions.
I guess I'm nosy, but I'm not nosy. I'm interested.
Yeah. I'm not asking, I didn't want to ask them questions to bother them. I didn't want to ask them questions to make them feel weird. I want to know.
Right. Because that's so foreign to us.
Yeah. Like, I'm a city dweller. I've lived in a city most of my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how the other half lives.
Right.
You know, what's it like without electricity?
Right. I can't even imagine.
Like, how do you not have a cell phone? Like,
right.
Little, you know, shit that I take for granted.
They don't even have a house phone, much less a cell phone. Right. There's all those questions, and to run a farm with a team of horses rather than, you know, four or five tractors.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
I watch a lot of weird TV.
Yeah.
I watched a show that was a series of like Amish hauntings.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, all right, I want to know. I got lots of questions. I want to watch this. Let's watch this. And one of them was, a young family were looking to upgrade their lodgings, and they were looking at this house that was built Amish but was later anglicized with electricity and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And the guy was like, well, you know, it'll cost this much money to, you know, get all the wiring out of it, or, you know, you can just, you know, turn everything off and, you know, just ignore the wiring and, you know, it's fine and that's not going to cost extra. And they were like, okay, well, we'll buy this house and, you know, we'll rip the wiring out. It's, you know, it's fine. We'll just redo everything. And that's not something that we can't do ourselves.
Oh, okay.
And then the previous owner was talking to the husband, the Amish husband, and was just like, well, you know, I see that you are making toys. And he's just like, you know, little hand drills and stuff, you know, make everything go much faster. Your production will go up way a lot. And, you know, you could sell your stuff and, you know, make more money. And, you know, and the guy's just like, but I can't buy electricity. I can't. That's, you know, I'll get kicked out of my group for doing something like that. And the guy was like, well, what about I pay for the electricity in my name and you just give me some money every month for the light bill? And they worked it out like that. And his toy production went through the roof and they were selling stuff. And but then stuff in the house started happening. And the husband was just like, my hubris brought something into this house and something upon us. And they ended up getting excommunicated and they had to leave that house. And it was a whole thing.
Oh, wow. I don't think they excommunicate them. Shun. I think they shun them.
Isn't that the same thing?
I think it is, but I think that... No, I don't think it's the same thing. So when you get shunned, they turn their back on you completely. If they see you on the street, they ignore you like you're not there. So I think it's more than... I don't know. Heck, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to go look that word up when I get home.
But yeah, it was a whole thing. And there definitely was something going on in the house. But it was just a whole thing. And the guy's like, I did this. So I did this.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Crazy. But that stuff like that. And they believe stuff like that. You know, that can cause stuff like that. That's why they don't use electricity and they don't use this and that.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's a different community for sure.
I feel like I did get a quick look at the lady and she had glasses on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, they let you do stuff like that.
Yeah.
But just not, you know, seeing is important.
Yeah. Well, how are you going to quilt if you can't see?
Exactly. Exactly. So that is important.
Yeah. I don't know. I got lots of questions. Like, do you quilt? Like, is that like a stereotype thing? Like, do you even know what a stereotype is? Like, am I being rude? Like,
I think it probably would be stereotyping them, but, you know. Rude? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I want to know.
I got lots of questions.
You know, it is interesting. I can't even imagine making a quilt without a sewing machine, though. You know, there's a lot of, well, most of a quilt is handwork, but there's still some things you can do on the sewing machine that would make quilt making much faster. I don't know. Who knows?
But wouldn't they have, like, don't you think that they could have, like, sewing machines? Like, the foot power?
Trundle ones?
Yeah.
Oh. Yes? I would say yes.
I don't know.
But I don't know.
This has been Amish Talk with Mom and Lexi.
Yeah. We're inquiring minds and we want to know. I've never spoken to anyone who was Amish.
Yeah.
So I don't know these. But then on the other hand, would someone who was Amish even speak to me?
That's the question of the hour, isn't
right?
It?
You know, and they're not, and that's not being mean. You know, being mean to me. I don't know. They just don't want to mix with the world.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's fine. If you don't want to be my friend, you don't have to be my friend.
Right.
I just want to ask questions.
Right. Could you do a TED Talk for me?
Yeah.
And hit all of these topics?
Could you tell me everything about your everyday life?
Right. Oh, my.
But yeah, real-ass Amish people.
Interesting. That's because I really don't think we have any here in Toledo.
I guess we could have looked it up.
What? Look something up? And what I'm thinking of is Amish. Could they have been the Mennonites? Because that's what, is that the group that lives in Archbold? Are they Mennonites? I don't know. But I know they're two different organizations. Religions, do they call them religions? Churches? I'm not really sure what the correct terminology would be. But yeah, when I see someone who is different, even people from different countries, I want to know what they're doing.
There's a large Amish population between Canton and Mansfield.
Nowhere near us.
Down to Coshocton.
Not anywhere near us. Over toward Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Canton's down kind of Akron-y.
Mm-hmm. That's where I think of most of the Amish in Ohio are, is over toward in the far east part of Ohio.
It does say there's a little group in Defiance.
Oh!
It's got a map with little dots on where everybody is.
Oh! Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Defiance is not that far from here.
Yeah, but it's not anywhere close to here.
It's probably still 45 minutes.
It's about halfway between here and Fort Wayne.
Correct. But now with 24 going out that way, it's real super easy to get. But how did they get to dentist in Sylvania?
Yeah.
When they're so close to Maumee and, you know, Harrisburg, and surely there's dentists.
Not this kind of dentist. Not this brand.
Okay.
The next closest one from Sylvania is Woodhaven.
Oh, that's even farther up in Michigan.
Yeah, Allen Park, Livonia.
Huh.
Oh, there's one in Lima.
Oh, that's pretty far from Defiance. That's a lot far from Defiance.
Yeah.
They would have to come to Toledo and then go to Lima.
Yeah.
There was a very bad accident on 24 near Defiance last night.
Oh, really?
A family was killed.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's rough. For some reason, a semi was on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's odd kind of highway out there. That the new
24?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
The port-to-fort road. It's odd. It's very, some places it's like residential. You cross some tracks and then you're on a four-lane divided highway. It's just weird.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's what happened. But anyway, that's the sad part. But how interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Other than that, I don't got nothing. And I don't know what we're doing next, especially since I'm not allowed to pick anymore.
You know you'll be picking.
I know, because you're going to pick by movie boxes and we're going to see some shit.
That's it. That picture looks good. Let's watch this movie. What? You're kidding me? Yes, that's what we're, that's how I pick, that's how I pick books at the library, so I might as well pick my movies like that, too.
Yeah.
If the cover, don't judge a book by its cover, I do all the time. All the time. Oh, my. Okay. All right, well, yeah. I, David Lynch, he's a certain taste, I think. Not mine.
Okay.
But this movie was, I think it was well put together. I can see that it was very, was cinematic the right word?
Yeah.
I absolutely could see that. I wouldn't watch it again.
This is like a once in 20 year movie for me. Like, I'm fine with not watching it again for another 20 years.
And then you'll be saying, I don't remember that.
I don't remember any of this.
I think that's funny. I'm glad we watched it. I mean, you know, we've in our 76, 77 movies we've watched.
Yeah.
We've watched some interesting things.
Yeah.
And I think this goes on that list of interesting.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
It's one of those ones you think about later.
I think I will. I will be trying to work it out in my brain. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to completely forget about it.
All right. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see you for episode 77, watching who knows what.
No, this is 70s. Oh, no, it's only 76.
This is only 7. This is our 77th movie.
Our 77th movie. You're right.
Our 76th recording.
Right. OMG. Okay.
Okay. All right, everybody. Until we see you again. Bye.
Bye-bye.